Hello, welcome to the Apple Cart, a podcast brought on by business owners who like to upset the proverbial corporate apple cart. They do things in a different way, creatively, disruptively, and occasionally randomly. I'm your host, Gudrun Lorette. Hello, and welcome to the Apple Cart. Now, my guest today is Stephen McCormick, and you might be surprised to know that Stephen and I used to work together in a business that helped MSPs. Now, if you're a creative, you'll have no idea what that is, so we will ask Stephen to explain what an MSP is. But Stephen is an MSP community influencer and marketing expert. He's based in Birmingham, and he has over a decade of experience of working in IT. He's an active member of a lot of IT and MSP communities like the Tech Tribe, and he's an advocate for well-being for small business owners. Stephen, thank you for being here. Welcome to the Apple Cart. First of all, we've just mentioned MSPs. So what is an MSP?
Well, first of all, Gudrun, thank you for having me. A managed service provider or MSP is kind of like a... Imagine if you were a larger business, you'd have very different departments in your central office. So you'd have a facilities management department, you'd have a HR department, you'd also have an IT department. But for those businesses that are smaller, that have maybe one or two people working for them, they need IT support as well. So what they can do is they can look to hire the services of a managed service provider or MSP, and they will basically provide them with all the equipment and software that business might need. So they might need access to Microsoft 365, they might need an antivirus and firewall, and anything along those lines are what a MSP can provide. And they will also have a service desk to answer any queries or to deal with any issues or service requests that the users might want. So for example, if you're an accountant, you're a one-man band, you will use software like Xero or Sage. You will also need to have a business website. So all those things can be looked after by a managed service provider.
So an MSP is the kind of partner that most small businesses should think about having.
Definitely.
So it works for anybody. And at this time of recording, I'm having some huge tech issues with my website and emails. So perhaps if I'd had an MSP, this wouldn't have happened.
Exactly.
But we can, you and I, when we worked together, we were creating content together. The IT space, like many more traditional industries, they're not great at marketing and thinking outside the box, as it were. What do you think MSPs can do to stand out and to try and see that marketing is a good thing, not a as I was told, black magic once at an IT event.
I think that, and I think this goes for a lot of small businesses too. I think that the greatest asset any business owner has when it comes to marketing is themselves and their people. So when I got involved in the managed service provider community a couple of years ago, I met a lot of IT business owners who were looking to set themselves apart in what is a very very crowded market. So if you imagine the typical IT small business, they've got a website. They usually have pictures of computers and the geographical areas that they cover. So they will be looking to be the most remarkable IT small business in that geographical area. So to set themselves apart, instead of showing pictures of router switches and cables and just like hardware, your best bet is to use a picture of yourself, of your staff in their uniforms. If you've got a branded van, that will also look great. And include lots of testimonials and reviews from your customers, because the people that are going to be visiting your website, which is more or less your storefront, they are going to want to be looking for the kind of things that will be different to the Tom, Dick and Harriet that they go to next. And actually they can see that you are proud of the people that work for you, and you are proud of the interactions you have with your customer base. So yeah, I think my top tip for managed service providers would be make more use of yourself, and actually make that your kind of main selling point.
And I think, and that's true of all businesses. I was talking to somebody I've met through networking yesterday, and we were talking about, people who say, "Oh, I'm a small business." And she always says, "You're not a small business. You're a small business owner. You're a person, and I think if you're in lots of industries, but certainly in IT, there's a tendency to want to explain the techie stuff that you can do. And really, what you need to do is explain how that helps the person on the other end and how you can do that through a personal approach. And I think if you think of marketing and sales as one person helping another, I think that really helps, doesn't it?
Yes, and I think that a lot of people forget that you're in business to provide a service and help people with an element that they could probably do themselves, but they don't want to do. They want to trust a partner to actually help them deliver what they need to, and help. And both of those businesses form that kind of connection, which helps both of your businesses grow. So it is about that growth. It's about finding that right partner to partner up with, and having that trust between you both to be able to facilitate what the other one needs, so yeah, I think that is really important there.
And I know when we were working together, what we were starting to pay attention to was what we were describing as nimble MSPs or disruptive MSPs. And this podcast is all about trying to do things in a different way and be disruptive. What is it that they're doing that stands out? And why do you think that not everybody's so keen on that? Do you think people are just uncomfortable about standing out and being different? Do you think they think they're going to get into trouble for changing the way
Yeah,
things have always been done?
I think it's a very interesting thing, because that a lot of MSP business owners, particularly, they are very introverted people. They prefer to do the kind of analytical parts, which is problem solving. It's about being in a quiet space where they can take apart a piece of tech and figure out how all of those parts work. So standing out doesn't come naturally to a lot of them, but I think we live in this world now where social media and marketing is it's pretty much a part of everyday life, and I think we are always marketing ourselves in some way. We're always trying to put a across our culture and our brand, whether that's if we're in a conference environment and we're meeting new people. We're actually there to go to get them to know, like, and trust us so that they'll eventually work with us. And I think that not standing out, you kind of and being a bit of a wolf and a bit being a bit of a wallflower, you won't achieve the levels of growth that you're looking for as a business owner. And I think it's very important to step outside your comfort zone anyway, because all businesses move so quickly, and especially in the tech sector, you've got to always be trying to get to stay ahead of the curve. And by staying ahead of the curve, you are already setting yourself apart from your competition. But you need to be motivated to have that confidence to do more handshaking, to be in a room full of potential customers and actually meet them and get to know them. And if you can, and not everybody can, but expose yourself to things like podcasts and videos, because they are massively good at engaging your audiences. And I think that that's why you should have one. And the Apple Cart sounds like it's trying to do just that. So yeah.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, top tip, don't actually expose yourself. That's not the kind of audience you want.
You had to go there, didn't you? I tried
I
to let
did. Come on, this is my podcast. I
that
can say these terrible
go.
things. I
Yes,
think
don't expose yourself in that way. No.
no, not in
It's
that way. Not a marketing tool. I said tool. Anyway, I think this thing about having to be the face of the business, it's a challenge for everybody. When we started our businesses, what you do is you take your strongest skills and you sell that,
Yeah.
and you that's what you're used to doing, and you don't think of things like sales and marketing and accounts and admin and websites and things like that, and it's really hard. And I remember Laura Robinson, Laura, she's a fellow copywriter, she said
Oh, yes.
the hardest thing about running your own business and pricing is that you've never had to think about how much you're worth before. You've
Yeah.
only ever been in a job where somebody else tells you this is how much it's worth for you to deliver this skill that you have. So it's no wonder that people struggle with pricing and selling themselves, because it's not natural. Nobody's ever done that until they have to do it. And I think that's really, that helped me a lot. I mean, my pricing probably still needs work, but it's different, isn't it, when you've got to try and communicate your own value.
It is, and I think that a lot of people like assume that what they've been contracted for in the past either still stands or is going to be set in stone. And I think that there's a lot to be said about the value-based pricing model, which is it's not about how much you think your skills are worth in the market. It's how much value you bring from using that skill. So again, it's a very common topic in the managed services space. People are always talking about value-based pricing, and it is about that, because if you're delivering a product for a business and it helps them get more sales or it helps them become more secure, it's about how much value that brings to that business. So it might be a skill that comes second nature to yourself, but and it might only take you a couple of hours to deliver a piece of content, but for them, if it generates them, X amount of extra engagements or potential sales, then it is worth a lot, and you should always aim your pricing at that, and not about, how long it may take you, because people pay for those experts' skills, and it's and you should really value yourself more, and that again, that comes down to confidence.
The what you've just said there about communicating value, see, that's why you've got to stand out, because otherwise, nobody's ever going to know that. And I think, again, many businesses, including IT, they're guilty of talking about features, not benefits. And it's always the end thing. It's I what is the thing about, you want a hole in the wall. Well, you want a hole in the wall so you can put a nail in the wall so that you can hang up a painting of your family. It's you don't really want the hole in the
That's
wall,
great, isn't it?
but you want somebody who can do that for you so that you see the picture of your kids, and then you get the warm and fuzzies every time you go past it. Although maybe not me so much, because I'm not photogenic. It's probably why my parents don't have pictures of me. But
Oh.
the theory still stands. It's the outcomes, and
Yeah, and
I think that's what it's why you need to be creative and disruptive.
I think as well, it comes down to who you have in the room that you're having a conversation with. So if you're talking to another technical person, then explaining the features of a product is fine, because that will interest them. But if you're talking to a business owner or an executive, they want to hear what the outcomes are and how that will help them to grow their business. And I think having the awareness before you go into those potential sales meetings will help you a lot, because you really want to be talking to at the right level to the right people, because a director's not going to care that their new software product has Copilot in it, because it just means gibberish.
But I think, no, does it mean how many MSPs are really going to be having other tech businesses as their clients? Then it's not really.
Exactly.
And it's
Exactly that.
one of the things I always said whenever I've done writing for people, and they say, well, how can you write about my industry, including IT? Because I do a lot of writing for about MSPs and IT and tech and stuff. You're not an expert, which is often why I had to ask you to help me to understand a term. But I always say, your end users, your customers, your clients aren't the experts either. That's why they're coming to you. And if I can explain it, if I can explain it to myself and understand it, then I can communicate it on your behalf to your customers so that they understand it, because they need those the basic facts. They don't need to know spec and, the which version of Microsoft or whatever, patching has just taken place and updates and upgrades. They don't know, and they also don't care. And I think it's key for all small business owners, because we're owners, not businesses, it to think about the person at the other end. Like you said, it's about people.
It is, and there is a fine line between kind of over-explaining features and getting the message across that you are an expert in your field. You don't need to, you don't need to bombard people with the science behind everything. You just need to be able to show that you've done this kind of thing for a similar customer and they have appreciated what you've done. And it's about that, demonstrating that value to somebody else that will be more valuable than knowing every single in and out of every cyber security policy document, you know? So it's about, it is about making that connection with people. And I think, you know, I think what you just said there resonates really well with the type of people that I meet in the MSP communities.
And we've talked, you've mentioned there a couple of times about sort of case studies and testimonials, and I think that's something you've got to get creative with. It's easier just to have a couple of lines of text, and I have lines of text on my website, but you need to be more creative, and you need to gently nudge your clients into doing that. I also have video testimonials from people I've worked with. What have you seen that you think works well in terms of testimonials, or even from the company themselves? I know you've attended a lot of events where there's been talk about video and stuff. What have you seen that works really well?
So I'm starting to see more and more MSP business owners actually do more stuff in front of the camera, and they are actually actively encouraging customers to be a part of that journey too. I saw one MSP on their website. They had a really great kind of, I think it was probably about a 30-second video where they just had customers explain why they trust this company to deliver their IT services. And I think it's just so if effective to make it short and snappy. But to also have that alongside the kind of longer case studies and things like that. But also, if you can, try and get into local news features, because it's so much better when somebody else is kind of showing your value. Than you blowing your own trumpet, you know? So to actually have that, pardon the pun, I'm sorry, I am dropping pun bombs everywhere, and I really apologize for that. But no, it's great when you can get the local g gazette to just drop in a feature, and if that will go to a load of local business owners in the area, that is going to be gold, because people are going to be reading that and go, oh, we need to change our IT providers. These guys look like they're doing great work. So yeah, let's pick up the phone and have a conversation.
And there's a lot to be said for appearing in the local press, especially if you're a smaller MSP and you service your local, I said service your local community. It makes sense to be featured in the local press, doesn't it?
It does,
Now, we were talking before. I'm not going to say the green room, because I'm going to say blue room, because all of my conversations are not suitable for public consumption. But we were talking before we started recording, and you mentioned the power of collaborative thinking. Could you
So
elaborate on that a little bit more for me, please?
definitely. So we were talking about what it's like to be a home worker and actually and get away from from having to commute into a daily office and how much we appreciate having our time. But the one thing we don't get much of being lone workers is the fact that you don't get to have those random conversations where you can just say, I've got this idea and I want to just bounce this across you. Sorry, that's my third pun now, I think. So
I
not that we're
wasn't going to
keeping
comment on that
score.
one. Continue.
But no, yeah, because like when you're thinking about a piece of content, for example, you can only take that so far before you start to just bring up the same things that you always think about when you think about something. So I mean, let's use for an example. We were talking about as well last week, the song "Red Dress" by the
The sugar waves,
Sugar
yeah.
Babes, right?
Tune.
So I've got a particular idea about why I like that song, and why I like it is because there's several layers to it. It changes tempo. There's kind of bridge choruses before the actual chorus. There's a lot of beats in it, and I like that kind of complexity of the chaos. But if I was to ask somebody else who also likes that song why they like it, I'd get a completely different answer. And that's why I love collaborative thinking, because you will go down one route when you think about what you're going to write, and you'll kind of meander down that route, and you might take a few detours and come back to your point. But if you get a different perspective on it completely, that can change your entire way of thinking, because you'll start to think about what they're thinking about, and it might not be exactly the same thought process, but you will then be thinking of things that you hadn't even considered, and it will completely change your perspective on it, which makes it so much nicer for the reader, because they are getting your viewpoint, but they're also getting a counterpoint that you probably wouldn't have put in there because you were doing it by yourself than if you did asked somebody for their perspective on it. And I think we've gone down this route bit before, Gudrun, when we've been thinking about topics, and there's only so much you can talk about when we consistently talk about things like cyber s security, or we talk about mental health. I mean, there are lots of facets to both subjects, but we will be convinced to go down the same routes a lot of the time. But to have that, to be able to say, oh, have you thought about this, or have you thought about that with somebody else, it gives them so much more valuable kind of strings to kind of pull to actually take that in a different direction. And I think it's so important to have that collaborative thought process. So I would probably urge, even if you are a solopreneur, or to have a community or a group of people where you're not afraid to actually share some ideas, because you will get so much value from that, for sure.
That's really good advice. And the same applies for if you're creating or thinking about creating new services in your business, or you want to put a package together. I think, it's easy to think, well, I'm the expert and I know best, but actually it's worth asking, ask you know, I know that the MSP space, the community is really strong, asking your peers how they would approach it, or asking somebody else in your industry or a different industry, or even asking your customers. But that collaboration, the result of whatever you create from that collaboration will always be stronger than if you'd done that on your own. And as it happens, I only like Red Dress because it makes me dance around the kitchen. So I'm not even thinking about beats and choruses. I'm just waving my arms in the air.
It's just a great song, yeah.
It is a great song. I like the Sugar Babes. I blame my husband. He got me into them. I didn't. I was very indie and sniffy about pop music, but he talked me into it. I think we've covered a lot there. Have you got any random questions you would like to ask me? Because you are welcome to. The format is feel free to ask me a random question if you want. You don't have to, but if you have one.
Yeah, so I guess because we're on a technical thing here, how do you think AI has bettered marketing, and what are the pitfalls that people often fall into when they're using it, in a bad way?
Oh, I like that. I think given what we've just been talking about in terms of collaborative thinking, I think that's where the strength of AI is, because you think it will think of things. I say think, it's not thinking. It will come up with things that you haven't considered, and that I think is invaluable. And it's in that sense, I think AI is like an evolution of everything else that we do in terms of research. When my dad was doing his degree, he had to go to the library and comb through textbooks, and you got that reading list when you started uni. Whereas when I was at uni, we had an Athens password, and we could search very quickly for a reference. And likewise, when you were a kid, you'd go to the library and you'd look at an atlas, and then, or a whatever the book was. And then we had, Encarta, which was, encyclopedias on disk, which was
So
not
many discs.
very many discs, and then we've got Google. So I think in that sense, I think AI is a positive, because it's anything that gives you more information quickly can only be a good thing. If you can spend more time evaluating that information, rather than taking it on face value. And that is the benefit and sometimes the detriment of the internet as a whole, is that you can, but you need to be able to apply critical thinking. So I think in that sense, in terms of finding out information, make sure you check, because ChatGPT has that d disclaimer that it can make mistakes. But I think to give you more information to help you come up with things that you haven't thought of, because we know that people are all searching AI for answers, it'll help you by showing you what other people are searching for. So in terms of coming up with a service or writing a blog or creating a video on something, if you know that the AI has that data that can say, actually, last week everybody was searching for this, that is a gold mine. I think the problem is it is over reliance on it. And I think from a content creation point of view, because I don't use it myself for my own writing, I think there's a real danger of because it looks good when you see it, spewing all these results in seconds, and it even puts paragraph spaces in, which is lovely. I think there's a risk of just copying and pasting and publishing without actually looking at what you've said. And I think that's where people have got to be really careful, because already your readers can see that you've used AI, even if you don't think they can see that, they can. There's certain words, aren't there, that it uses, and it like
Definitely.
little rocket emojis and things. And also going back to, you want to be working with people. It needs to express your tone of voice and your views and your viewpoint and your values. And I think if you just use an AI tool and go, oh, this looks good, it's given me 750 words on this topic that I've asked it for, I'll post this. And if you haven't checked it, and you haven't edited it even a little bit so it sounds more like you than the computer, then I think that's a real danger. And I think as time goes on and AI is fed more data, but also there is more AI generated data out there, we're going to get into a bit of a cycle where quality is really going to be impacted.
Yeah.
because you're just getting regurgitated AI guff.
That is my one concern, is that we're just going to be publishing more things that are all generated by artificial intelligence that's going to be referenced by the next and the next and the next and the next. So it's just going to create this Mandela effect, where if the information was kind of wrong to start with, people are going to be reading it again and again and again in different places, and all coming to the same conclusion that this information is false. And yeah, I think we do need to be careful about that. However, having said that, once we end this chat, I'm going to be typing into Chat GPT, what do you think of the Sugar Babe song Red Dress, and
Now
see
that is a question I would very much like to see the answer to.
if
Anything else? Anything else you would like to share?
well, just that the only thing I am currently still passionate about in my because over the last year I've been self promoting myself on LinkedIn, and one of those things to share my health journey. So I've lost 5.5 stone in the last year, which I'm really
Stephen
proud
is looking very buff. You can't see him on this
of.
audio, but he's looking great. The hard
And
work
I'm
is paying off.
feeling so much better now, and it has inspired quite a few p people to actually to actually look at at themselves and make changes. So I'm actually quite proud of that, and I have like a regular accountability post that I kind of d do. But I think, again, even though that's not directly marketing for my business, it still keeps me in touch with my audience, and shows a human side to me, which you wouldn't get from a content creator's point of view necessarily. So yeah, I'm quite proud of that, and I'm proud of the fact that it has inspired others too. So yeah, just wanted to give a quick shout out to that, and if it's helped anybody else, or at least inspired them to make a few changes, then great.
It is amazing and inspiring, and you've done incredibly well. 5.5 stone, blimey. That is, and it's I see your posts and I do try and like and comment them. But it's a great thing. You've been open and honest and you've shown your personal side, and I know you've inspired people because I've seen the comments you're getting.
Yeah.
So it's brilliant. I will share your LinkedIn link. Are there any other links you want me to share? Is there any other random link you'd like? I tell you what, we'll put a link to the Sugar Babe so we can have a bit of a discussion on
Definitely, yeah. I mean,
Red
if you
Dress.
want to, I'll say I'm on Spotify too. So if you want me to share that, I can share that. It's very weird. My playlists are very eclectic. They go from pop stuff like that to heavy metal, so, and then pretty much everything else in between. So yeah, a bit of drum and bass perhaps, and yeah, it's a complete melting pot. But yeah, I am in the middle of trying to set up a new website. I don't have that link yet, but perhaps when it goes out, I can give you that link too. So yeah, that'd be great.
My Spotify, my liked songs, you would think that it was seven different people.
I
Or
love that. I
somebody
love
with
that.
multiple personalities. But yeah, mine is no drum and bass, but mine is also a fairly random. My brother is a professional musician and he mocks me whenever my songs come on. He says I'm not adventurous enough. So, but yes, mine is equally eclectic.
Lovely.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for your time,
Thank
and
you for having me on.
we will catch up soon. Hi, it's Gudrun. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Applecart. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, feel free to get in touch. Alternatively, please recommend the podcast to someone else. I'll see you on the next episode. Bye for now.